Blog Talk Radio.
Go ahead, brother.
Well, hey, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'd like to say hello to Apostle Hunter and all those who are listening all around the world. How are you doing, Apostle?
I'm blessing you. And you, Pastor Apostle, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm doing wonderful. I tell you, the God that I serve, he's still on the throne. The God that I serve, he's still faithful. He can still be counted on. He's dependable. He's all that. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. And tonight I'm going to talk about one of my favorite subjects. Matter of fact, I'm going to talk about my best friend, and that's the Word of God. My best friend is the Word of God. That's what I'm going to talk about tonight, the power of the Word of God.
The power of the Word of God.
I tell you, the Word of God is my best friend. It's my best friend. When I was lonely, the Word of God was there for me. When I was sick, the Word of God was there for me. When I was incarcerated, the Word of God was there for me. When my mother was murdered, the Word of God was there for me. In the good times and in the bad times, the Word of God will always be there for you. There is power in the Word of God. I tell you, the Word of God will never let you down. Father, we just thank you. We love you and we appreciate you. I honor you, Father. I honor you, sir. I honor you and I thank you. And Father God, I thank you for Apostle Hunter, Father God. Bless Apostle Hunter and encourage him, Father. Encourage him. Send encouragement his way and build him up, Father God. Show him how much you care for him, Father. One more term, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Father God, all those who are listening, Father God, bless them and let something be said that will encourage them and take them to the next level. Now, Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. For, O God, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. And it's in the name of Jesus, in the name of Yehoshua, in the name of Yeshua that I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And let's look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. How were the worlds framed? By the word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The worlds were framed, not the world, but the worlds. The worlds were framed by the word of God. The worlds were created by the word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The worlds were framed by the invisible word of God. And the message tonight is the power of the Word of God. The power of the Word of God. The Word of God is so powerful that the universe was created by it. The worlds were created by it. Apostle Hunter, you know, I was looking at the internet one day, and I'm telling you, the Word is so powerful. They found another earth, Apostle Hunter, and they said it looked like another earth, but it was made up of a pure diamond, and it's so many times bigger than the earth. No, that's not the earth I'm talking about. They found another planet. Now, they did find another earth, and it's similar, and it looks like the earth, but they spotted another planet. And this planet was so huge that the scientists said, Apostle Hunter, is so huge, bigger than the earth, and it's a pure diamond.
My God.
A pure diamond.
My God.
That's how powerful the Word of God is. I'm telling you, the Word of God is so powerful that men are still discovering other planets and galaxies, Apostle Hunter.
Yes.
That's how powerful the Word of God is.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And that makes me wonder sometimes, why do I get afraid? Why do I get scared when the word, which is so powerful, is on my side? I wonder about that sometimes. Us being mere men, we forget how powerful that the word of God is, and we shouldn't fear. We shouldn't fear. We shouldn't be afraid of nothing. That's probably why the apostle says, I fear no man.
My God.
I fear no man. What can man do to me? Because he's realized the power of the word of God. And God, I want to be like that, God. I want to be like that. I really want to get an understanding and a reality of the power of the word of God. That's how we should meditate in it day and night. That's why we should really pay attention to the word of God, so that we can get to the point that we fear nothing, no one, no thing, no nothing, because we have we realize the power of the word of God. Now look at John chapter 1. I want to encourage someone tonight. I want to build up someone tonight. I want to edify. I want to comfort someone tonight. That's my goal tonight. That's my goal tonight. You know what? I'm facing some things. I'm going through some things. And you know, I want to forget about me. I want to forget about me. And I want to encourage someone else with the word of God tonight, the power of the word of God. Now look at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word is what started everything. Everything that we see, the Word is what started it. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is God. The Word is God. Look at verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. By who? By the Word. And without him, without who? Without the Word, was not anything made that was made. Everything was made by the Word. In him was life. In who? In the Word. And the Word is life. And the life was the light of men. The Word is our light. It's our light. And it's our life. When you're talking about him, him and the Word are the same. Jesus, Yeshua, and the Word are one. And so the Word is our light. The Word is our life, the abundant life, the Zoe kind of life, the overflowing life, the Word. I'm talking about the power of the Word. Power is released, number one, when we speak it faithfully. We speak the Word faithfully, power is released. It's released. God's spoken Word is powerful. And when we speak it faithfully, when we speak it faithfully, power is released. Go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10.
My God. Hey! My God.
That's why we need to speak it faithfully. Speak it faithfully. No matter how you're feeling, you could be feeling down today. And I tell you, in this world, we have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Jesus said before, I've overcome the world. And what is he saying? You will too. You will overcome too. Speak the word faithfully. When Jesus, whenever he faced a problem or a situation, he spoke the word of God. When Satan tempted him in the wilderness, Jesus spoke the word of God. He said, it is written. So we have to speak it faithfully. Look at Romans chapter 10 and verse 8 through 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. That's what the apostles preach. They preach the word of faith. That if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, the word. If we confess with our mouth, what? The word, the Lord Jesus, that he's the word, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confessing what? The word. By confessing the word, There's power release. Deliverance takes place. I'm telling you, material things manifest. Things happen. Power is released when we speak the word faithfully. God's word spoken will accomplish his desires and purposes in our life. God's word spoken will accomplish his desires and purposes in our life. Look at Isaiah chapter 55. If we want God's purposes and his desires manifesting in our life, if we want God's, if we want that to take place, if we want God's purposes to be fulfilled in our life, we have to accomplish this by speaking God's word.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55.
My God.
And let's look at verse 10 and 11. Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You see, that's the word going out of God's mouth. We're created in the image of Almighty God. We need to have the word coming out of our mouth, and it will accomplish God's desires and purposes for our life. Just like when the snow and when the rain comes down, the Bible says, and it hits the earth, it makes seed come forth, and the grass and the flowers and the vegetation come forth. When the rain and the snow come from heaven and hit the earth, it produces. And the same thing will happen when we speak the word of God. It will accomplish God's desires for our life and purposes for our life. God's word spoken will break down and burn away obstacles. Sometimes obstacles get in our way. Mountains, obstacles, things to stop us and hinder us sometimes get in our way. By speaking God's word, it will break down the obstacles and burn the obstacles away. Isn't that wonderful? Look at Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. It will burn it away. I tell you, you're having some pain and some problems in your body. Well, you want to burn that obstacle away. It hinders you from serving God and having fun with your family and enjoying life that God like God wants us to. God said, I want your joy to be full. Well, your joy can't be full if you're having trouble with your body. So we need to begin to speak the word of God 24/7. We need to begin to speak it, and we'll see obstacles burnt away. We'll see obstacles broken down.
Amen.
Jeremiah chapter 23, and let's look at verses 8 and Jeremiah 23, verses 28 and 29. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. There it is right there. We must speak God's word how? Faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as fire, saith the Lord? And like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces, it will break obstacles in pieces. It will break down and burn away obstacles into pieces. It will burn it away. God's word spoken will break down or burn away obstacles. We need to speak God's word safely. All kinds of positive things will begin to happen when we speak God's word. Let me say that again. all kinds of positive things will begin to happen when we speak God's word. Go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. I said all kinds of positive things will begin to happen when we speak God's word faithfully. Look in Mark chapter 16 and verse 20. And they went forth, the apostles, the disciples, they went forth and did what? Preached everywhere. The Lord working with them. The Lord working with them. And doing what? And confirming what? The word with signs following. Amen. Signs and wonders, positive things begin to take place as the disciples went forth and preached God and taught God's word. Signs and wonders, positive things begin to happen when God's word was spoken faithfully. I'm talking about the power of the word of God. My best friend, the power of the word of God. The word of God won't change on you. The word of God won't change on you. The word of God won't be fickle on you. Like, you know, sometimes people can be very fickle. The word of God won't be fickle on you. The word of God will be your best friend. Speak it faithfully. Number two, believe it. Believe the word of God. We've got to believe the word of God. Not just speak it faithfully, but we've got to believe it. We've got to believe it. Power is released, Apostle, when we speak God's word faithfully and when we believe it. When we believe it, power is released. Look at Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And look at verses 5 and 6. We've got to believe the word of God. And he could there do no mighty work. Who could? Jesus. Who is Jesus? The word. So the word could there do no mighty work. You see, the word of God wants to do a mighty work in your life. You can say Jesus and you can say the word because Jesus is what? Who? The word. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the power of the word of God. Jesus is the word of God. And he could there, who couldn't? And the word could there do no mighty work, save that the word laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. The word, he was in a village, the word, Jesus is apostle, isn't that true? Jesus is who? The word.
Yes.
Isn't Jesus the word of God? Jesus is the word of God. And the word of God could do no mighty work, but only heal a few sick folks in that village. Why? Why? He marveled. Who? Who marveled? The word. The word marveled because of their what? Because of their what? Unbelief. And the word went round about the villages doing what? Teaching the word. See, teaching is the cure for unbelief. If you want to build your faith, you got to be taught the word of God. So Jesus realized that they didn't believe, so I could only heal a few people. I couldn't heal them all because of their what? Their unbelief. So what did he do right after that? He went around and he began to what? Teach the word so people could believe. We got to believe it. We got to believe the word of God with every fiber in our body, in our being. We've got to believe the word of God. When we believe the word of God, it will release power in our life. Look at Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Mark chapter 9, verse 23 says, Jesus, the word said unto him, if thou canst what?
Believe.
All things are possible to him that believe. Now, I believe. I don't care what nobody says. I believe that God always calls me to triumph. I believe it. Sure, I'm in this body. I'm in this flesh, and doubt hit me sometimes just like everybody else. But then I build myself up in the word. I begin to speak the word, and I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I make myself believe it. I force myself to believe it. I got to believe it. I mean, you see, the Satan, he attacks our minds to try to get us to go over into doubt and unbelief. He attacks our minds. He tries to pour so much on us at one time. He want to discourage us and cause. He want us to start doubting God's word because he knows how much power it is in believing God's word. He knows that power is released when we believe God's word. So Satan, he tries to bombard us with trials and tribulations and so much trouble. Why? To try to cause us to move over into doubt and unbelief. But I'm here to tell you tonight, believe it. Believe God's word. All things are possible to them, him that believe it, to her that believe it, to him that believe it. All things are possible. I'm talking about the power of the word of God. Speak it faithfully and believe it. Believe it. Look at Hebrews chapter 4.
My God.
Hebrews chapter 4. The word of God is my best friend. The word of God should be your best friend. Your best friend, the word of God. Should be, make it, the word of God is not your best friend, make it your best friend tonight. Make the word of God, make him your best friend tonight. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. They didn't believe it. And them that heard it, they didn't believe it. For we which have believed do enter into his rest. We will enter into rest. Do we what? Believe the word of God. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spake in a certain place of the 7 days on this wise, and God did rest the 7 day from all his works. See, you'll find rest when you believe God's word. Power is released when you believe God's word. And so the power of, talking about the power of the word of God, for the power to be released, God's power to be released in our lives, we got to speak it faithfully. God's word spoken will accomplish his desires and purposes for our life. God's word spoken will break down or burn away obstacles. All kinds of positive things will begin to happen. Number two, we got to believe it. We got to believe God's word. And number three, my final point, we've got to continue in it. We got to continue in it. We got to make. We got to decide that I'm with the word for the long haul. I'm going to speak it faithfully. I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to work the word for the long haul. You got to make up in your mind that you're going to continue in the word. See, there is a need to be consistent. Consistent. There need to be some consistency. Consistency. We need to be consistent at speaking God's word faithfully. We need to be consistent at believing what the word of God says. We need to continue in it. There is a need for some what? Consistency.
See.
Be consistent in the word of God. Be consistent. Don't be wishy-washy. Believe it and speak it one day, but the next day you don't believe it and you don't speak it. No, there need to be some consistency. We got to keep at it. We got to keep at it. We got to keep at it. How does a man eat an elephant? One piece at a time. He just consistently eat a piece at a time, and he'll eat up the whole elephant. You got to be consistent at it. I heard scientists say that if a drop of water would drip on a rock, and it would drip on that rock for so many years that it will cut that rock. It will cut it.
Yeah.
Just a drop. just a drop of water, after, over thousands of years, it will eventually cut the rock. It will cut stone, water will. Because of what? Consistency. Look at John chapter 8. We've got to be consistent in the word of God. John chapter 8, and this is my last scripture, John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, there it is right there. If you continue in my word, when you're being attacked on every side, what do we do? What do we do, Apostle? Continue in his word. Continue in his word when you're being talked about. Continue in his word when your freedom is being threatened. Continue in his word when people are mocking you. Continue in his word when things are not going so good. If you continue in his word, then are you my disciples indeed. See, Jesus said, you're my disciple if you have some consistency. If you have some consistency with my word. Not wishy-washy, not one day in and one day out. No, there need to be some, Apostle, we got to have some consistency in God's word. And then he said, then are you my disciples indeed. And verse 32 says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Make you free from sickness and disease. Make you free from poverty. Make you free. Make you free from fear. Make you free from lack. Make you free. Deliver you. Make you free from bondage. Set you free.
My God. Uh-huh.
When you're consistent in God's word, there needs to be some consistency. And that's what God wanted me to speak to his children, his people tonight. The power of the word of God. We got to speak it faithfully. And we got to believe it. And we got to continue in it.
Amen.
Glory be to God.
Glory be to God. Well, you know, God has been so good to us tonight. He gave us a great word continuously in the word. The more we stay in the word, the more we realize the word is who it says. And so, you know, I thank God for the pastors that come on the radio station. And tonight I believe we got a pastor on there by the name of Pastor Irving. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well,
how
praise
are you
God. All right, how you doing tonight, Pastor?
I'm doing great. You know what? I don't have to speak tonight. The apostle just sit there and just kind of gave my message, but that's all right.
Sure, it's a God confirmation. How you doing, Pastor?
It's all good. Praise God.
Good to hear you, Pastor.
You too. You know, just keep me in prayers because coming up the 1st of December, I'm going to Central America for about 8 days. I'm going down there on a missions trip. And then also
going to
be on the radio show.
That
program
is awesome.
Yeah, so just keep me in prayer on that.
Congratulations, Pastor.
Amen.
Congratulations. Amen.
You're carrying out the Great Commission for real.
Oh, yes, I enjoy it. You know, in fact, I was sitting there when I was asked to go. I'm going, okay, Lord, where am I going to get the money to do this one? And I was driving down the road with a friend of mine that I've been teaching, and he's been right alongside me ever since he gave his life to the Lord, and I've been pouring a lot into him. And a pastor friend of mine sat there and called me, and he says, you know, he says, I've been thinking all day long. He says, I'm supposed to call somebody. And I couldn't remember who it was. He says, it dawned on me. I said, I'm supposed to call you. He says, when are you going on your next mission trip? He says, because I want to sow $1,000 into your mission trip. That's God.
Oh, wow. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Where God guides, he will provide one.
Amen. You know, I want to go in, if I can, right, real quick here. I want to go into Colossians 4. All right? It says, Master, give unto your servant that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the thing with thanksgiving. You know those two verses right there alone. You're asking of God to give what's just to us who are in Christ, who are seeking the word of God, who are seeking, asking for answers. And then also in that second verse, it says with thanksgiving. And with thanksgiving is knowing that, God, you've answered my prayer before I even asked.
My God.
Those two verses alone.
Amen.
And then we go down, it goes down and says, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in bond.
My God.
As we open our mouths and we begin to speak the word of God, God opens up that door, that porthole, that he pours out his spirit into us so that we can sit there and we can talk and we can teach and we can bring forth the word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
The beauty of God and using people like me and you and others to bring forth the word of God. The other night when I was preaching, I started out on one thing and I ended up going all over the place. Of course, I normally do that anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, how can we sit there and honestly and be honest with ourselves if we're not walking in the Spirit of God?
That's right.
If we're not obeying the Word of God, if we don't have a true understanding of God, how is it that we can lead and teach and preach? You know, God sits there at times, he throws a stumbling block before us, and we can't go around it. We can't climb over it, and we can't cut through it. Because God wants us to stop and think, what are we doing? I'm talking to the preachers right now, and I'm going to get into other things with everybody else because this word's for everybody.
Amen. Amen.
God wants us to stop and think, what are we doing?
Are we doing
things for ourselves, to edify ourselves? Or are we preaching, are we reaching out, truly touching those with the word of God to draw them to salvation? You know, the rest of the world, it doesn't matter what's in this world, it makes no difference. You know, I mean, their money has nothing compared to the gifts that God has for us in heavenly realms.
My God.
Amen.
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 Does all the money in the world do to us or for us if we don't have salvation, if we don't have the understanding of the Word of God?
That's right.
What is it that we can all drive around in brand new cars and live in mansions here on earth and still not have the Word in us and the understanding of that Word?
Amen.
I mean,
Amen.
we can talk a blue streak, we can talk about God, and we can talk about all these things, but if you're not in the Spirit and don't have the understanding of what you're talking about, all we're doing is sounding horns, tinkling brass, and bells, because we haven't knowledge of the understanding of the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, there's times when the devil throws a roadblock. And those roadblocks that he throws at us, we sit there and this is for everybody. The roadblock he throws at us, it's to blind us. It's to sit there and turn us into a different direction. It gives us to get mad at God, to begin to curse God, to begin to do things and speak ugly and see things. And we sit there and don't realize that it's the devil who's put these roadblocks in front of us.
That's right.
And yet, if we sit there and we start lusting, we start getting, we strife, we get angry, we get mad at God, and it's not God at all. But you know what? And the truth of the matter is, if you understood and knew the difference between the two different roadblocks, the block that God sits there and puts before us is for the wisdom and the knowledge that he wants to give to us. The other roadblock that Satan puts out there before us is the one that we sit there, have the power of understanding and knowing we can crush that rock, we can crush that stone, and we can walk right through it.
Oh my God.
It's the understanding who you are in Christ. It's the understanding and knowing that God has given each and every one of us who have come to receive Jesus the gifts of heaven, the godly gifts, and they're not of this world, that we can conquer over anything that we do. We can conquer in anything that we put our hands to. We can conquer. But the only way in doing that, in that conquering and that, is not just speaking it, but is believing it and then being able to sit there and walk in it in the Spirit of God.
My.
We can't do it on our own. Even God tells us we can't do it on our own. And we sit there a lot of times, forget the understanding of what he is trying to tell us. Because when we say we can't do it on our own, as we're walking in the flesh, and we're saying, well, God, do it for us. No, God wants you to do it, but he wants to do it with you in the Spirit.
In the Spirit.
Yes.
My God.
In the Spirit. And it's without understanding and knowledge and how to receive that and get into that Spirit and walk in that Spirit and to stay in that Spirit. You know, it's not a thing in the world that we can't do. As you said, there's many a planets. You know, I sat there and I spoke to a congregation. I says, you know what? I says, our universe, or even just our solar system, there are billions of stars. And each star has many planets circulating around it, just in the Milky Way, our solar system. And they count there are billions and billions upon billions of solar systems throughout the universe.
That's right. Amen.
In our finite mind, all we can see is what's here on Earth. And we can, what now with the telescopes, and we can see out past. But we cannot see what God had created when he's sitting on the edge of the universe, looking at what he created with all the other solar systems, and not just that of our own life. Our knowledge, understanding is so minute to what God has and each and every one of us. He knows every leaf. He knows the petals on every leaf. He knows everything.
Yes.
How is it that we walk in our own natural and expect to be able to sit there and assume and do the things that Christ has done in the natural realm? And then when we come against these stumbling blocks that Satan threw at us and put out before us, and we trip over it, and we get mad at God because we don't distinguish the fact that that's not of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And those stumbling blocks that God puts before us that we know and that we understand, say, oops, wait a minute. And he says, turn and go the other way. Stop. Listen to me. Before you go further, listen to me, what I have to tell you in order to get you to the next step. And you can't do that being self-minded, but only through the Spirit of God. Only through the Spirit of God is where we can be able to obtain that. You know, if we go down to the next verse here, it says there, and it says, that I may make it manifest, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Right there. As you speak. If we're in Christ, we can sit there and speak everything into existence as God has spoken everything into existence. That everything that Jesus had done on earth, that we have received the same power and the glory through Christ, through the blood of Jesus, that we're not just store-bought, but we're blood-bought.
Amen.
That we Amen. Can do equally as more than what Christ did here when he walked upon the earth.
Amen.
But without that understanding and knowledge, it's a mystery. It's a mystery that only God reveals to us a spoonful at a time. He gives it to us so we can grow, as we can chew on it. And as we begin to operate into that area that he has placed us into. Not everybody is the right hand, not everybody is the left hand, not everybody is the eyeball.
That's right.
There's inner functions in the body of Christ, just
yes.
as well as what there is on the outer. And sometimes some jobs ain't as present as other jobs, but it doesn't matter. Every part is a needed part in the body of Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, when I first got into ministry and I started doing disaster ministry, I got there and trying to find out a place for me to do things. You know what my job was when I first got there? It was taking care of the garbage. And I was telling you guys that we were producing almost 3 to 6 tons of garbage a week.
Hmm.
That was my job. But God saw that I was faithful in what I was doing. And he began to sit there and do more. And he has placed
Amen.
Me in other areas.
Amen.
He has grown. He has placed me because I was faithful. I was faithful in doing some dirty work that he has placed me in a different realm and different things that's going on in my life. You know, and it's not always easy because we're always constantly under attack. I don't care if you're in the spirit. I don't care if you're in the flesh. I don't care if you know Jesus. I don't care if you don't know Jesus. We're all under attack. But the thing is,
right.
like you said, Apostle, God worked for 6 days, and the seventh day he rested.
Mm-hmm.
And those who come into Christ are in that same rest that he is in. It's a playground. If you think about it, we're resting in Christ. And we're
mm-hmm.
allowing to sit there and continue his work that needs to be done here on earth, just using us. All we have to do is be faithful. All we have to do is walk in the Spirit. All we have to do is understand what it is in the direction. We don't have to really know, why are we doing this? What's the purpose of this? It's not for us to know that. It's not for us to question it. Our deal is to be able to just go forth and do it in faith and believing, okay, God, there's a reason for it. Whatever that reason is, fine. Sometimes I speak to people not knowing that the Holy Spirit comes over me and hits somebody with something. It changes their life. I don't know what it was I spoke.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many times the pastor got into the Spirit and was been preaching, and all of a sudden didn't even realize what he was preaching. He was off his sermon. He had no idea what he was talking
right.
about. Somebody in the pews had
That's
to
right.
hear that word, had to know
That's
what
right.
it was. The Holy Spirit was trying to get to one person. I don't care if there was 500 people sitting out there. It was
right.
for that one person.
Amen, that's right.
That's all it was for. Your whole sermon was for that one person. You know, I have been blessed over and over and over so many times that it's just being faithful and walking with the Lord.
Yes.
And I'm trying to understand, you know, understanding what we're doing. You know, like I said, this one man, that he gave his life to the Lord that I've been working with for the past 3 months. I know because he keeps bringing his family to me. His daughters have given their lives to the Lord. His sister, 2 sisters have given their life to the Lord. His brother has given his life to the Lord. It just goes on and on. Just one family. I know that God has some great purpose for this man and for that, for his family and for whatever it is. I don't know what it is. All I know is that every time we go out, and no matter where, in fact, his business, he was in the oil business. And he sat there and he taken his oil business and he fired pretty much everybody. He says, we're going to do it God's way. Two-thirds of the people in his business have given their lives to the Lord and seen the change in this man, because the man was a rowdy, recluse. He was everything else but a godly man. But when he received the Lord, his business, his continuity, everything about him, his home, everything in his life has changed. And he is trusting in God. And I'm seeing miracles after miracles after miracles just in a few months with this man, because he's given everything to God. He has given his home. He's given his business. He's given everything. He has five different locations. And each location, they're sitting there and they're coming to the Lord in his business.
Amen.
You know, and it was just by coincidence that I ran into this man. You know, it's nothing I'm doing myself. It's nothing that I've done myself, because I just know that when I speak to the man, it's not me who's speaking to him, but it's the Holy Spirit that's speaking unto him and is teaching him. You know, over years and years and years of experiences and knowledge and understanding, and yet I'm still lame because I still don't know everything that God has for us, and I still don't understand a lot of things. But it doesn't make any difference. As long as I stay faithful to God, and no matter what it is, he is going to prosper me in the things that I need spiritually, and then help me to have it to manifest here in my life, here, today, tomorrow, next week, next month, until God calls me home.
Amen.
But without Amen. The knowledge and understanding of who you are and what it is that you can do through Christ, and what you know and the understanding and the knowledge, then you're nothing. I should say we're nothing.
My God.
That's right.
We can only become that what it is that God has desired us only if we surrender. We can play the game, we can talk the game, and we can walk the game. But if you're truly, now God knows when you're fooling around with him, and he knows when you're being true with him.
Amen.
You know, I know there's some people out there right now, I don't know, for all over the world that are listening, but you know, last night I was sitting there preaching, and I sat there and I said, you know, I said, the devil has even come into the pulpits. He says he's bringing false prophecies. He's bringing, we can see it. We can see it in the churches. Not all churches, don't get me wrong. Don't think that Satan's in every church. That's not what I'm saying. But if Satan can stand before Jesus, or before God in the throne of heaven, if Satan can enter the Garden of Eden and destroy what God had created, what makes you think that he's not going to enter into the house of prayer and try to bring strife and bring anger and tear that house down because of his greed of what he wants?
Mm.
And we sit there and we listen to these false prophets in the pews. Now, I'm not saying every preacher out there is a false prophet, nor is a liar or a thief. But you won't know if you don't know and understand who you are, and you don't know and you don't understand the Word of God and recognize who they are.
Yes,
Mark.
That's salvation. That's where warfare. That is coming into the knowledge and understanding what is written Word of God, and the words that are not being twisted and perverted for anything else. Because God sits there and he tells us, he says, literally to rebuke the things of this world and sit there and embrace the kingdom of heaven. And you say, well, that's way up there. No, the kingdom of heaven is within you. The kingdom of heaven is what is Christ that's in you. The kingdom of heaven is what is in us, that we produce that what God has, that God has created, that we can manifest it here on earth to change the world, to change the people's lives, to bring them to salvation. The prosperity, the preaching of it, and not all pastors are get me wrong here again, I'm not trying to get into everybody's business, but they're the prosperity preachers that has been destroying the church for prosperity. The one pastor, one church I know, just had a conference, and in 24 hours they raised $1.5 million.
Wow.
And I'm going, that would be great if they were to use that money for the kingdom of God and not buy themselves another Bentley, or not to buy themselves another mansion. If that $1 million was to be able to go out and feed the homeless, or to go out and use it and support missions and missionaries, if that money was to be picked up and used for something else, it would be greater than what God, you know, a lot of times our offerings that we bring before God is not what we play at the altar, it's what we do for someone, what we do for someone who can't do for themselves.
My God, preach it, brother, preach it.
Amen. Huh. It's not so much of what we lay at the altar other than we lay our own soul at the altar and say, use me, God. Put yourself in the collection plate and say, here I am as an offering to you, Lord. And see where that takes you. Money comes to us every day, or work, or however it may come to us, and it has no value, really, truly, to God, other than your obedience and giving your tithes. But what you use that money for is a whole different prospect. Are you feeding the widows and orphans? Are you taking care of those who can't take care of themselves? Are you using what God has given you to uplift? Or are you sitting there and using it to sit there and show, hey, how, look at this, look how great I am, look what God has given me. Look at this, I'm driving around in the Bentley, I'm driving around in the Cadillac, I'm driving around in whatever. It doesn't make any difference. Because, in truth, not to say that we're not allowed to have that stuff. Don't get me wrong. If your God has given you the money to do that, and that's what it's for, praise God. If God's given you the money for a house, praise God. Because he does want us to be able to prosper. There's no two ways about that. He wants us to have a good life. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're depleting the congregation in order for you to have that good life, then you are standing in the crosshairs of God's judgment.
My God. My God.
That is something that you or I will not be able to survive if we've got caught into his crosshairs. Because his judgment is coming. And you know he's going to judge the church first. He's going to judge us harshly because of those who have fallen away. Because of those who have sat there and were not faithful for that, with their word that God has given them, that they would be able to manifest things in people's lives that would show the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of heaven on earth through us, through those who are unbelief, that they would be able to believe.
My.
God's mercy and his grace is beyond anything that we can understand.
Amen.
But his wrath, I'll tell you what, are bruises that they never heal. Never heal. And it doesn't make any difference. I don't care if you know God. I don't care if you are falling away, you know, there's hope for you. All you have to do is repent and turn back. If it is that you come across one of the stumbling blocks that Satan put before you, I say right now, I speak it right now, that your eyes are open, that you recognize that it was not God who put that block before you. It brought that hurt. It brought that shame. It brought that bitterness. It brought that lust. It brought that anger. It brought that brokenness. It brought you to the point of hating God. Because hating God is not of God.
That's right. That's right.
It's
that's right.
The love of God. The stumbling blocks that God puts before you is the ones that sits there, and he does it in kind. He does it from his heart, knowing that you need to understand this, or you need to understand that. You need to be able to stop and repent, turn, come back. Listen to me. I got something for you, but I can't give it to you if you keep walking away from me. I put that stumbling block before you so that you will not continue down that road, but turn and go in another direction, because I'm standing over here, says the Lord.
My mama.
Right now, I'd like to just hear a simple prayer, if I can, for everybody who's just been listening to this word. I pray that right now that has opened your hearts again, once again, to the Lord. I pray right now that your eyes will be open right now. I pray that your ears will be open once again to the Holy Spirit. I pray right now that you will return to the Lord and know and recognize and understand the difference. I pray that you would get into the Word, not just into the Word and read the Word, but to come to the true understanding of the Word of God and the knowledge of God, and walk with him once again. Praise God. I thank you, Jesus, for allowing me to give this word tonight, for those who are in need of hearing this word, for those who will be uplifting to them, and for those who will be a warning unto them that they need to change. We need to change now, tonight, today. If you will hear my word, saith the Lord, today. I will change.
My God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Tonight has been that night that God has once again, the prayers of the righteous are being availed. And we know that we know our God is on his way back. In the name of Jesus Christ. And so I want to thank God for everybody that's on the radio tonight. Anybody got a word been said tonight? All I can say is, to God be the glory.
Amen.
To God be the glory. Because I will say this to you, my brothers and sisters. One thing I found out about it, the more you trust in God, no matter how hard the devil come against it, stand. Stand.
Amen.
When you stand, the devil can't do you. He going to fight you. He going to lie on you. He going to hit at you. He going to do everything he can. But as long as, it's like when I was reading the book of Job, and God said to the devil, he said, have you considered my servant, apostle, Newsom, have you considered my servant, Pastor Irving? Have you considered my servant, Roy and Royal Love? Have you considered my servant? He said, yes, but I can't get him. And in the New Testament, Jesus said, we live in him, we move and have our being. So we stand firm on the conviction. And I'm going to say this with love. We're in a time right now. And I heard one of the ministers say that they found a new, hallelujah, a new universe. A new universe. This God, all I can say is our God is awesome.
He's awesome.
Amen.
He's awesome.
He's awesome.
I mean, you know, when he says from the beginning to the beginning, there is no other God like me. So why would the devil do what he did? He lied to
He died, he lied. Well, first he was kicked out of heaven. Big liar. He got out of heaven. He said, oh, I'm going to make my throne better. And God said, I don't think so. Excuse me, my brother. I'm just, let me, can I? And God say, oh, you are? Yes. I tell you what, you should take my footstool. Pip, kicked him out of heaven. And all hell broke loose. We don't know God had a plan. I put some on the Facebook tonight. Jesus of Christ has his life for us, gave his life for us to deliver us from this evil, adulterous, hellish world. This world is full of nothing but hell.
You said that right.
Amen.
Ain't nothing but hell. We're looking at right happening, what's happening in California, what's happening in Texas, what's happening in America. I mean, it's the cops and stuff walking around killing people, the young people and stuff shooting and killing people. See, the devil has gotten loose only because those of us, including me, we got to take our word and we got to take the W-R-D. As I said, it's the W-O-R-D that was lie. We can't let the devil take the children. You can't let the devil take the old ones who are down in the world. See, some people don't want to come to a place where they can learn something because they stuck up on what they believe. And I'm going to tell you what the Bible tells me. When I was reading the Bible, and one thing as I was reading, I got so caught up in the Word. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, God, who at past times, days of yesterday, spoke to us by his prophets, but now he speaks more fluently, more excellent, through his son, Jesus Christ. So how are we going to deny Jesus Christ when God speaks through him? The Word became flesh, and the Word. Now, the awesome thing that gets me thinking, my brother and sister, is the Word became flesh. You just write down W-O, good God, my D. Became flesh. Fingernails, toenails, thumbs. Woo, Jesus. Toenails, hallelujah. Hair, ears, woo. A heart. Oh, God. That was God's doing.
Yes.
Nobody but God. Woo.
Yes.
I get so excited. I get happy again.
Amen.
Because I know that one thing they showed last night, I was going perusing the channel, and they showed what is, they got this smasher that's smashing all the smallest particles in the world. The thing goes all around Europe. It goes from one point, I mean, it's so big, and so the man said these words. He said, people say God does not exist, but God does exist. He said,
yes,
this thing, 80 years, 20 years in 1980, they had cell phones. But they modified and rectified and brought it down. They said, when you take notice, he said, God is putting things before us that he's still God. We can call a person around the world and speak to them on Skype.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Huh. See
Hallelujah.
Them face to face. Now that's God.
That's God.
That's God. And he
yes.
says, and he was saying more. I tried to just answer, my God. But the Bible say God's word is going to prove the heavens and the earth declare his glory. The heavens and the earth declare his glory.
Amen.
And I said, Lord, I said, but Lord, and the guy said, do you know how small a particle is? It's so small, you can't even see it with the naked eye. But they smashed. They got them traveling at a half a million miles at one time, smashing. And he said, that's how we came out with the radios and the television, and you got what you got now. Everybody, he said, 20 years from now, think what else we're going to come up with. Right now, they got a car. You don't even have to do nothing but get it in. Get it programmed and take you where you want to go. Good God Almighty.
Mm.
Huh? Come on,
awesome.
Somebody.
That's
God. God.
That's God.
Not only that. See, but the devil has no charge of that. He has no charge.
And I want to say to you, come to Jesus and give your life to him. So you can do it to God. Because God's the only one. See, I don't want to be on the God's bad side. As it was said by the old preacher who went to heaven, he said, if you're on God's side, you're on the right side. But when you're on the devil's side, you're going to hell. I ain't going to hell. You remember that, don't you, brother?
Yes, Bishop Otis Clark.
Yes, indeed. And I will say this to y'all. We're going to stay in prayer, and we just want to say this here. Tonight's the night that we thank God. And
amen.
I want you to pray for me. I pray for you. We know that we got a lot of work to do.
Yes, sir.
We may not be able to go down in South America, but while you're going now, prayers go with you.
Amen. Amen.
Wherever KSK radio station goes, I want somebody to be praying for it. Because what
Amen.
Jesus and the Holy Spirit has shown me in the last days what he's doing in our lives. And I said just like this here. I was praying about one issue, and God said, I got you.
Amen.
Did you just
Amen.
I prayed about one issue, God said, I got you.
I got you.
I prayed about it, he said, no, I got you.
Amen.
So you know
he got you.
You know what I've done? I just turned it all loose. I'm being under, but I've just turned it all loose. I've turned it all loose. I said, Lord, I know what you're going to do. See, all of a sudden, your healing, Hunter, is not going to come just like that. But God says it's going to be a progress so you can understand why you came through what you came through, so you can help somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah.
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 Nobody. Tell me what I know that I know what I've seen. I've seen God. I know what I've been through. I've seen, but I say it with love. Oh, man. Anybody got a butter pecan? Anybody got a butter pecan out there? I love God. Father.
Amen.
Tonight's the night that we just as brothers and sisters, and we just thank you tonight for all that we've heard.
You.
We thank you for the vibration of your word so quick in our heart. Let us stand firm with a conviction. Let us stand firm on the word. Let us stand what you said we got to stay. And Father, we just thank you for everything you have done for us.
Yes.
We just want to do more of your word. And I
yes.
pray you will get the anointing on Pastor Irwin as you go down there. Let the
yes.
anointing follow him
yes.
and keep the angels
yes,
all around him. But Father,
yes, Father,
I know the angels didn't come with healing, but you sent Jesus Christ with healing in his wings. And I want to say thank you. I want to say I love the Holy Spirit. Ah, this is the night that we say praise the living God. So until the
praise
next time,
the
God bless you and the peace of God be
God.
With you. Amen.
God bless
Amen.
You, Apostle. God bless
God.
You, Pastor.
God
Amen.
Bless
everyone listening.
Amen. God bless you, I royal love.